In the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For something like 50 or 100 years, it's actually hard to say, various policies throughout the states of Australia resulted in the forcible removal of Indigenous children from their families of origin. There is not actually easy consensus about what the purposes of such policies were. And some people implausibly deny that the policies were ever in place at all. Some say that those policies were there to protect the children from neglect. Others say it was to preserve their Aboriginal heritage. Still others say it was to civilize a race of people that was not as technologically advanced as the Europeans, who had by then long ago claimed Australia as their own. One reason for removing Indigenous children from the bosoms of their families, however, seems to be wrapped up in the perverse thinking of eugenics. Through generations of intermarriage with fairer-skinned people and generations of socialization in European customs, this thinking went, you could, to quote, eliminate the full blood and permit the white admixture to half-castes, and eventually the race will become white, according to one of the policy's best-known proponents. The children taken during these decades came to be known as the stolen generations, and no one really knows quite how many children were indeed stolen during all those years. Can you imagine what it was like? This is a report from one such child. I was at the post office with my mom and auntie. They put us in the police car and said they were taking us to Broome. They put the mums in there as well, but when we'd gone about 10 miles, they stopped and threw the mothers out of the car. We jumped on our mothers' backs, crying, trying not to be left behind, but the policemen pulled us off and threw us back in the car. They pushed the mothers away and drove off while our mothers were chasing the car, running and crying after us. We were screaming in the back of the car. When we got to Broome, they put me and my cousin in the Broome lockup. We were only 10 years old. We were in the lockup for 2 days, waiting for the boat to Perth. And so it was that several generations of children were taken from their own families to grow up in orphanages and schools and other institutions, some of them run by the churches of Australia. And generations of Aboriginal families were deprived of their own children. Of course, the policies were not only misguided and cruel, they did not succeed in eliminating the Indigenous peoples of the Australian continent, who have never fared very well since Europeans came to those beautiful shores with their supposedly superior culture. To this day, Aboriginal Australians suffer the same kinds of indignities that Native Americans suffer on our own continent: unusually high rates of poverty, unemployment, addictions, and of course, the loss of the lands and customs that sustained their lives for generations past. But I digress. For today, the gospel compels us to think about children. We find Jesus' disciples engaged in an activity that adults have perfected, arguing about who is greatest, which is a way of saying that they were wrangling over power. Knowing something about power, Jesus wants to teach them. So he leaves them alone and scurries off for a moment, and then he comes back into the house where they are all gathered, and he has with them a child. Maybe it's an infant or a toddler, but I like to think that it's a child a little bit older, say a middle school aged child. And he says to them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And then he takes that child in his arm. If it's small enough, he cradles it in his arms. Or if the child is a little older, perhaps he bounces the boy or the girl on his knee. If the child is a little older still, standing beside him, Jesus wraps his arm around his or her shoulders and draws the child close to him as he says, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Now, this is a recurring theme in the Gospels, not only the lesson that the first shall be last, which is familiar to so many of us, but also the instruction, the command, the imperative, you might say, to welcome children. It's a lesson most forcefully and memorably taught by Jesus when his disciples are yelling at people to take their children out of the presence of Jesus, to get them out of the way. But Jesus intervenes and says famously, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." The disciples meant well, but they were wrong. Not just because Jesus made it permissible to bring children into his presence, but because he made it clear that children have a privileged place in his heart and in the kingdom of heaven. I sometimes think of those generations of stolen indigenous Australian children ripped from the arms of their mothers, tossed into the backs of pickup trucks, and then hidden away till they could somehow blend in with the rest of white Australian society. And sometimes I think about this parish in the same breath, which I love, and parish churches like it. And I wonder, who stole our children? There are entire generations of children missing from the life of the church in many places. Certainly it is the case in this parish. The children here were not taken from us forcibly. It was all much more subtle. In urban churches like ours, it was linked to the flight of so many families from the cities into the suburbs. And then, of course, the loss of Sundays as free, unprogrammed time protected for worship and family togetherness. The church has proved to be a weak attraction compared to softball leagues and football games and Sunday brunches. But we didn't shoo the kids away, as the disciples did. We just woke up on successive Sunday mornings and found that they were missing. We may have wondered who took them, but what could we do? At St. Mark's, for decades now, we have tried to make the best of it, enormously grateful for those few families with their children who stalwartly remain, but generally learning to cope without children, filling the roles they once filled with adults as necessary and keeping just enough small-sized vestments around to fit the occasional boat boy as a reminder to us, since those boat boys and girls look so right in this place, so much like they belong here, a reminder to us of the missing generations. There's something awkward in the passage of Mark's gospel that we heard today that may contain a lesson for us. Mark is very specific that Jesus and his disciples are gathered together in a house as Jesus talks with them. But I doubt very much that there is a child sitting there in the room with them. Jesus, it seems to me, must have gotten up to go and get a child. Did he go off to another part of the house? Or did he go out into the street? Who knows? But I feel certain that Jesus had to get up from where he was sitting and go and get the child that he put in the midst of the disciples in order to teach them a lesson. And perhaps part of the lesson for us in this gospel passage comes from asking, where did the child come from? It's a form of question I ask around here. Where will the children come from? It's all fine and well to say that children ought to be part of the church after all, but where will they come from? Out of thin air? Well, where did the child come from that Jesus put in the midst of his disciples? Jesus went out to find the child, and he brought her in. My brothers and sisters, our children are missing. They have been taken from us by forces that we often think are more powerful than we are. And in so many cases, their entire families have gone missing with them. Our children are missing, and they are being deprived of a Christian heritage, of the Christian story, of the Christian sacraments, of the Christian community, and of the Christian life, all of which are good and useful and holy. Our children are missing. And after all, hasn't the church shown herself to be an unreliable caretaker of children? There are those who are ready to say what a good thing it is that the children are missing from the church. Our children are missing, which puts us in peril if we truly care about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes such a child welcomes not just the child, but Jesus into their hearts, into their lives, into the church, into the world. Entire generations of children are missing from the church, including the present generation. It's been no one's policy. No bands of policemen have gathered them up and carted them off. They've not been locked up in a cell somewhere. They've not been taken by force from their mother's sides. But they have been seamlessly assimilated into a society that either thinks it has outgrown the kingdom of God or would rather turn its back on the kingdom of God. Our children are missing. But we cannot really point to anyone else and say, it's your fault, it's your fault. Because the children were missing when Jesus gathered the disciples in that house at Capernaum too. The children were missing then. The disciples, after all, were planning their own futures, designing their own vestments, arguing over who was the greatest, who would sit at the Lord's right hand. I wonder how it was that they arranged themselves in that room, in that house at Capernaum, for their discussion. How did they jostle to get the best seat beside the teacher? How awkward was it for them when he got up and left the room and left them sitting there alone with each other? How long was he gone? Did he go just to the next room and find a child sitting there on its mother's knee? Or did he go out the front door? Did he ask one passerby after another if he could borrow that child just for a moment? Or did he bring the mother in with them and let her stand there in the room with them as he taught? Why did they think he had brought that child into their august gathering? Children can be disruptive, after all. Ask any Episcopalian, they'll tell you. And they thought that they were doing just fine without children. And they thought that it was best to keep the children away. This was adult business, after all, this business with Jesus. Let them come to Jesus when they're grown up, when they can decide on their own, they thought. They had no idea that the children were missing from their midst. And they thought that they were doing just fine without them. But they were wrong. So Jesus went out from them and brought a child in his arms. My friends, if your children were missing, you would go out and look for them. You would not sleep until they had been found. You would not rest until they were warmly tucked into their beds. You would not leave any stone unturned in your search for them. If your children were missing, you would find them and bring them home. Well, my friends, our children are missing. To welcome them is not just to welcome Jesus, but to open our lives to the whole presence of God, to welcome the one who sent them. Our children are missing. Are we just going to sit here? Or are we going to go together and find them? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.